starting out in Pasadena today?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is whether you're talking to architects that are established, or you're talking to students that just graduated from the School of Architecture. Uh-huh. I'm very close to USC and the School of Architecture there and the Architectural Guild. So I think in terms of young architects coming into the fold, and it's just, you know, it's awfully rough.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, to get yourself established, it's, I can't even imagine.
Really? Why?
Well, I mean, to get your first job and to get started, and not just one job, but to get enough to keep you going, keep you established. I mean, a tremendous competition. There are a lot of architects in Pasadena, mm-hmm. and there, as with any other profession, there are a lot of good ones and there are a lot of bad ones. And there are very few architects who will only do one particular style. A lot of them will do what they have to do to keep their business going, and depending upon the budget and the type of client they have, whether someone wants just a big facade that has Corinthian columns on it, or they want to look like quasi-green and green, or whatever it might be, it's very difficult to give advice to established architects, because if they're established, they've already, excuse the expression, established themselves. They've already established a pattern of sort of architecture they do, and where some might specialize in, not too many, like Culver Heaton specialized in churches. You got all the churches, but some do maybe all school work, some do all commercial buildings, some might do high rises, some might just do parking structures, but you can't give much advice to them. I mean, I could say certain things, well, change your design or that, this mm-hmm. or that. Couldn't, but to summon a young graduate just starting, I say start off doing smaller things, uh-huh. but doing them right, doing them well, and try to establish a reputation for doing good quality, straightforward design, and sticking within a budget. Just the normal sort of things that intellectually that you would do. I mean, it's, and I think each one would, you'd have a certain direction to tell them to go, depending on what their talents are. Mm-hmm. It's so many ramifications. It's hard. I've been involved with a lot of students, and not too many, as I say, with other architects. What can you tell them? A lot of my former students are architects now, like John Christ, who's taken over my old office along with Dennis Smith, are both former students. And John and Chris, we have a lot in common to talk about, but I don't tell him how to run his business. So it's not that easy. It's like with a dentist. What do? You can't tell the dentist how to, or a doctor. So you can give a little, maybe a little fatherly advice or something like that, but offhand I can't think of what it would be specifically.
In your old office, is that the one on Colorado?
Yeah.
West Colorado?
1450 West Colorado.
Okay. Well, you're obviously leaving a strong architectural legacy in California, and you're continuing to contribute to it with your renovations. Do you feel that you've accomplished the kind of career that you set out to have?
Probably more so.
More so? How so?
Well, I never... Well, putting all this material together for the book...
Yeah.
I'm really kind of amazed, but it took 50 years to do all that we did, and I'm amazed how much we actually did do and did create.
Really?
It happened over a long period of time, so you don't realize that. If I if I knew what we had to do, the amount of work that we had to do 30 years ago, I said there's no way we could do all that, but somehow we've done it. And I guess it's a collaborative thing, being two in partnership. We're able to do twice as much, of course, as an individual. But I never dreamed that we would, say, have the kind of reputation we have now.
Wow.
But it just kind of happens. So it's strange.
Huh. That's a lucky thing. Well, and hard work,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. It's been mainly working hard and being lucky in a lot of areas and circumstances that led to things that we've done. I'm very happy.
So your career has made you happy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm just kind of sorry that Conrad's not around to appreciate some of the fruits of our labor like I've been able to, because he would have enjoyed that, and he worked very hard too. I feel very privileged to be in this capacity to be able to talk about it, and I'll be more than really happy when the book comes out.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be the ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm. How are you spending your time these days? Obviously, you're working on the book, you're seeing friends. What other sorts of things do you do? You're doing some renovations.
Oh, like I was at Hollywood Bowl last night.
Hollywood Bowl,
Galloway,
yeah.
Play the flute.
Oh, how nice.
And, no, I have a group of friends in Pasadena that we go down to the Barclays down at the golf course and have lunch there frequently, and Holly Street Bar and Grill, and Bijou, and have the Fortune Chinese food, and I dedicate a lot of time to the Architectural Guild.
Oh.
I've been the head of the silent auction committee for 5 years now.
Oh, wow.
And last May we raised $25,000 for student scholarships on that. And I'm a friend of the Gamble House, as you know.
Right.
And and I'm available for anywhere consultation for any of the people that buy our house. And I got a call this morning from Vanessa and Eric Hansen that we did a house for about 10 years ago. They're going to be moving to Scotland. They wanted advice on who I would recommend for a realtor.
Oh, that's nice.
And then someone else asked me about someone to help them on their interiors. I make recommendations. So I get a lot of phone calls all the time. The case study number 20, for instance, is just gone into escrow. And so I'm hoping to work with the people that bought that to help them restore that. So just enough to kind of give me enough to do.
Great. Is there anything else you'd like to add? I know we've talked about a lot, but any last words?
No, I think this is you've done a wonderful job in terms of the interview and the questions you ask, and very succinct and to the point. And I think we covered almost everything that we could cover. One thing I'm surprised you didn't ask is why I retired.
Oh, why did you retire?
like everything else in my life, just a series of circumstances,
uh-huh.
coincidences and all. It happened to be, of course, I was going on, I really started working when I was like 8 years old when I first moved to
California. Right, you told me, yeah.
So, being 73, it means I'd been working for 65 years. I mean, literally working.
Wow.
For 65 years. And I just thought it'd be time to not have to go in the office every morning. And by coincidence, the American Institute of Architects has a new thing now. They have learning units that you have to keep record of, and have so many learning units per year to keep your license, your architect's license.
Oh.
Well, I had plenty of learning units, but I just didn't feel like reporting all those every year and doing going through all the paperwork. So that wasn't a real problem, but the day I retired, you didn't have to report all those, but after that you had to, or you no longer be AIA. And coupled with, and also we had our cars released, and the lease was up about that time, so that was all paid for. And this house that you're in right now, they moved in. I built this house, so I just finished building it and moved in. So it was a great time to retire because this was complete and they're happy. And also kind of in the back of my mind, we had designed the Mosley house, but that was something that I could use as a transition period from retirement into doing that and working with Alex Mosley, which worked out. So I built that after I retired, and that was a great thing wonderful thing to act as in that transition period. So that and a couple other I can't think about, are all the little points that all summed up the raised some debt, coupled with the fact that I just felt like a retiring. It's kind of a novel sort of thing to do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, well, that was a great question. Do you have any other questions I can ask that you want to answer?
No, I think that's, I think that was really it, because when I, oh, well, there's one other thing.
Yeah.
After I officially retired, four dear friends of mine thought I ought to have a retirement party.
Uh-huh.
And Carol King, uh-huh. Alex Mosley, George Whitman, who is an architect now up in Seattle who worked for us for a while, and Randall Mackinson. The four of them decided to have a retirement party for me, and we had it at Carol King's home, which was a great thing. Invited my, of course, my remaining relatives and friends and clients, and had a great retirement party over at the Carol King house, which was great. And Alex Mosley designed the invitation.
Oh yeah.
And which was very clever, as usual.
Did it have a particular theme or symbol?
Oh, but just the way he did it. I wish I had, should have brought a copy to you so you could see it. I could send it to you, but it was very clever and had a good turnout, 100 and some people.
That's great.
And had a good time, so that made it really kind of official.
Was that in 98?
Yeah, I think in 98.
Okay. Great.
And so I'll very confirm that, but I'm sure it was 98.
Okay.
Yeah, it was before I sold my home.
Okay.
And that should pretty much sum up. If you think of anything else along the way, let me know.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure listening to all of your stories about your life.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting for me, too.
Oh, good. Good.
I'm glad. I think we covered almost everything.
Good.